My name's Sean Collier, back in the Southside Works party room. We got Smurfs posters and probably some leftover cake in that trash can.
Still the Lorax?
Yeah, they have not updated. That fell behind. That's okay. It's a nice little, you know, you got your eight. What are we talking about? Sicario. Oh my God.
Woo!
We saw one tonight.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The early autumn slump is over. We're going to talk about Sicario. I'm also going to tell you about The Martian. It's a big weekend. It's a big movie weekend.
Yeah.
Here, the first weekend of October. All this and more this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, October 2nd?
Sure.
We're into October, right?
Yeah.
30 days has September.
That's right.
Yeah. October 2nd, 2015. Did a lot of complaining in September that, you know, we were doing episodes on The Intern and sitting through some, and you know, watching The Visit, and we're into award season now.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah,
we really go through.
Yeah,
some hard times for you guys.
I was ready for some grown up movies, and Black Mass kicked it off, but The Martian and Sicario and The Walk this week. We just added Bridge of Spies to the upcoming calendar.
Yeah.
So we've that's the first Spielberg movie we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah.
We weren't doing it when like War Horse came out.
No.
So that's coming up, but today, wow, I was pretty blown away.
Yeah, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time.
Yeah. I leaned over to you at one point. This is one where if the movie had been 8 hours long, I would have been fine. Yeah. I would have been like, give me a 10-minute intermission to go get a Snickers, and I will be here till 3 a.m, and I have no problem with that.
Really good. Explain to everybody if they haven't heard of this movie yet. It's got a little bit of press, but
yeah,
it hasn't really blown up like some movies.
And it did a slow rollout. People have been asking me if it was out for 3 weeks, because I think it was out 2 or 3 weeks ago, New York and L.A.
Yeah.
The director is Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah,
I think you'd pronounce. He made a big splash with a movie called Incendies. He is French Canadian, and because Oscars is Best Foreign Language Film, so he got a Best Foreign Language nomination for Incendies a couple of years ago. I didn't see that. We saw Prisoners. One of our early episodes was on Prisoners.
I think. People that saw that, definitely there's a lot of tension in that, a lot of darkness.
Yeah.
And this is very similar to that. He's very good at dark material.
Yeah, this is a guy that does not need to make it fun or throw in comic relief at all.
No.
A little bit like Black Mass now that I think about it, because Black Mass had a similar feel. But this guy is really drawn to
dark crime stories.
Yeah, he does not shy away. And interesting, he'll be doing the sequel to Blade Runner that's been announced.
Which, when you told me that, that's really exciting.
Harrison Ford signed on, Ridley Scott is producing it.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. It does make a lot of sense after seeing this. You think sci-fi world, and that's a lot different, but the tone of this,
I think he's getting a little bit of practice. You know, 2016, he's coming out with a film called Story of Your Life. Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, Forrest Whitaker. It's a movie that takes place after alien crafts land around the world.
Huh.
And an expert linguist is recruited by the military to determine whether they come in peace or are a threat.
It's a cookbook. So Sicario, I don't want to give anything away, but how about that opening scene?
Spectacular.
I
really, really great just realism.
The first, I'm not going to tell you anything. It's a law enforcement operation.
Oh scene. Yeah.
It's like a big like SWAT team operation in the Southwest. And the first 10 minutes of this movie, you know, it was like strap in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you are going to know what you're getting. And if you're anything like me, I was sitting there going, oh, good. This is going to be a really interesting 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's one of the best openings to a movie I can remember.
In a while, for sure.
Certainly that we've talked about on here.
And there's some very tense, violent scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I mean, they are edge of your seat.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to you, too, that I really liked that you really don't know what's going on.
No.
And it's kind of all through the eyes of a character, and that's always great.
Yeah.
Because you kind of feel like you're in the ride with them.
There's no exposition. I've read some press comparing it to True Detective Season 1. And that makes a lot of sense in the...
Sure.
You know, it's incredibly compelling, but you don't really know fully what's going on.
Sure.
But unlike that, unlike something like The Counselor from a couple years ago, this isn't, you know, oh, you've got to watch it 3 times to figure it out.
Right.
This is just... It's a simple story, but they're not going to hold your hand and have somebody come on and set up the world for
you. Which is exactly what was going on with the character that you're kind of riding along with.
Right.
I don't want to give that away.
Well, no, you're not giving anything away. To say that you know, for the vast majority of this movie, you have the information that the main character has, and you have the perspective that she has. There's
nothing you could do.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. That character is played by Emily Blunt. She's got a partner. They're like Phoenix Special Forces.
No, they're
Tucson.
Phoenix FBI.
Yes, they're local FBI.
Yeah.
In Phoenix. What's the name of that actor who played her partner? Who I was like, where do I know this guy from? And you made the call. You got the Douglas Movies point on this one.
I did get the DLM movie on that one,
because this guy was the main character in Black Mirror number 2.
Yeah, it's Daniel Kaluuya.
Yes,
he's English.
Yeah, the two American characters here were both British actors. That's interesting.
Yeah, he was in a lot of other stuff after being in Black Mirror, and I don't remember. He was in Welcome to the Punch, Kick-Ass 2, Babylon.
You haven't hit anything I've seen.
I saw Kick-Ass 2, but I don't remember him in that.
But if you watch Black Mirror, he's the main character in the one about
episode
the reality
three?
Show. That is 2.
Episode 2, that's right. The reality show where they're kind of in a prison.
Yeah, yeah. Really good. Yeah. I've still only watched the first 3, and they're all unbelievable.
You know, I am going to disagree a little bit.
About which one?
All of them.
Oh, I think they're all great.
I think they're really great.
Mm-hmm.
They should not be an hour. I think they should be a half an hour.
Oh, really? I thought... Because I look at them as movies. I look at them
yeah,
as...
Yeah, I think they drag on a lot.
That the one that he was in dragged on a little bit.
And it sure
that,
did. I was
that
really
that one was more than an hour. That one was like an hour 10, hour 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Even the first one with the English Prime Minister, I still thought it was a little slow.
Anyway, but I still recommend it very, very highly. I think that's going to Netflix. I think that's becoming a Netflix series. Yeah.
That's how I watched it.
Right, but I think Netflix is making.
Oh,
more.
It's picking it up.
Yeah, that's
right. Season 2.
Season 2 exists. There's only 3 episodes per season. Mm. There are, I think, 7 exist in the world now, and Netflix is going to do more. Anyway, Sicario. So those two get looped in by an agency. They're not sure what the agency is.
Pretty much under the guise of the Department of Justice, right?
Right.
The DOD, the Department of Defense.
Yes.
Right.
They're looped in to help on a operation dealing with Mexican cartels.
Yeah.
And that's all they know, and that's all you know for most of the movie. And they just get swept up into not, you know, we're planning not, you know, this isn't like back rooms and politics and going to the war room. This is, we're going today. We're going to get some shit done today.
Yeah. Josh Brolin kind of leads that pack.
Oh, he's so good.
And, dude, he's the dude who works for nobody.
Yeah.
Like, it's really interesting. They're like, so who are you? What are you doing? He's like, meh. Get in the car.
Yeah. He's wearing flip-flops.
He's like, okay. Quit asking me questions.
and quickly, they loop in Benicio del Toro.
Damn, he's good.
Every major character in this is really good.
Yes.
He's the standout.
Great casting.
Yeah.
Great casting.
Some, you know, you forget how good he is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's done some stuff that's a little, I don't want to say beneath him, but a little beneath him.
I feel like a lot of actors do things to buy a second home.
Right, right. But when he turns it on, he is so scary and so compelling.
Yeah.
In this movie.
He's a bad dude.
Yeah. This is a violent, hardcore movie.
Yeah, this is violent. And I was telling Sean, too, I just finished watching Narcos. If you haven't watched the Netflix series Narcos about the story of Pablo Escobar, it's fantastic. Didn't we already talk about this?
Yeah, I think we did.
So if you go through that and then watch this, you'll really be into it.
Well, and
I'm like fascinated with the drug cartels right now. It's just fascinating.
Well, and Pablo Escobar's a little while ago, right?
Oh, yeah, 89.
Right. So the thing that I really like about
he died in 93, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
The thing that I really like about Sicario, and, you know, we can get into this or not, whatever you want, but this is the horrible war that's going on our continent.
Yep.
And everybody north of, you know, Texas
has
just
no
pretends
idea
that nothing's happening.
Yeah, holy moly.
Not to diminish ISIS or the refugee crisis and all of that. I mean, yeah, sure, these are all big, important issues. But this is what's happening next door, and nobody knows anything except Breaking Bad.
And the things, too, is that I recently read an article. It was an either right nor left article. It was because I was digging into the drug cartel things. And the fight for the border and immigration has a lot more to do with South American and Mexican drug cartels than people think. Yeah. A lot of people see, you know, the single mothers and the children who want to come over and make a life for themselves, or the nuclear families from Mexico that want to get over. And it seems like, from a couple things that I've read, is that they're the collateral damage of immigration in this story.
Right.
Not Sicario, but in the story of immigration.
Yeah.
It's about drug cartels.
Yeah.
It really is, and people are like, really? I'm telling you, it very much so is.
Yeah, the surface narrative is kind of wrong on the right and the left there.
Yeah.
Where the left is like, what? You know, you need to be compassionate to people who are working to feed their families. And it's like, yes, we do. Not what we're talking about.
Right.
And on the right, it's like, no, we can't let people take American jobs. And it's like,
not what
we're talking about here.
There's
this
something
is not
in the
a problem.
There.
This is not a problem because of the guy coming up to mow the lawn.
No, it's not at all.
I don't mean that to be racist.
No. But
that's not the problem here.
No, it's that, and you can, if you watch Sicario, and I've watched a couple other documentaries on cartels, that, like, you know, people are like, oh, we spend all this money on the war on drugs and on the borders. It's really about, like, I mean, these cartels, they get more money, resources, and weapons than a lot of countries.
Yes.
And that's what's scary. If you get a guy in here that has some compound in Texas, then start infiltrating local governments, which we have already seen, which happens in those desert states, and Sicario has a little bit of that. I mean, it's a scary thing.
And
these cartels are very powerful.
You know, they say a couple of times, and there's something like, you need to wake up to this because very soon it's not just going to be south of the border.
Right.
That this is going to spill over and take over Arizona and New Mexico.
Right.
And I think that interests me about the movie because, you know, Josh Brolin says that to Emily Blunt a couple times. Right. Like, this is coming here. Because
she's kind of the kind of naive do-gooder.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, it's not about this guy who's some drug dealer.
Yeah.
It's about the guy who lives in a $20 million compound.
Right.
Who has rocket launchers and tanks.
She thinks they're trying
who has an army.
Not a spoiler. She thinks they're trying to build a case against the money guy.
Right.
Which is, and when Josh Brolin says that to her, like, no, understand what's going on here,
right.
That's also the filmmakers saying that to the audience.
Right.
Like, wake up to the reality of what's happening in the world right now. And this screenwriter, by the way, do you remember his name?
Yeah.
Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor
Sheridan.
Taylor Sheridan. Holy shit, first screenplay.
Yeah.
And we're saying this probably needs to get nominated.
It might get nominated.
You know, I haven't seen a lot of, haven't seen a lot of the contenders.
This being his first screenplay, he has six more in the works.
Yeah.
A TV movie called Olympus.
And he's an actor. He was recurring on
Sons of Anarchy. Good on there.
But if you look at his credits, he has a long run on Sons of Anarchy.
He is
a short run on Veronica Mars, and the rest is like one CSI, one NCIS.
I guess
by
the end of the year, it says 2015. It's in development. He's writing and directing a TV movie. Called Olympus, where a decorated soldier turned spy finds out he's descendant from Greek gods and could actually be humanity's last hope. That doesn't sound like in his wheelhouse.
No.
But okay.
Hey, take that check.
Kamanchira? Okay. Sicario 2, already in development.
That's interesting. I don't see where the sequel is, but
continuing the drug war.
But if you look at this as this is something that could have been an 8-episode series,
absolutely. This could definitely have been an HBO series for sure, or a Netflix series.
Yeah, I mean that's the headline I saw. I didn't read the article, but the headline was like Sicario is the True Detective season 2 that you wanted.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
And there are there are scenes in here that reminded me of some of the best stuff from.
Season one.
Not the mystical stuff, just the law enforcement crime stuff.
Yeah, kind of that tension.
But, man.
Did I mention this on the podcast already? I want to mention this, and I keep saying this because I want validation.
All right.
Is that True Detective Season 2, did you watch it?
No. I want to, but after all I've heard, it's going to be hard to motivate myself to sit down.
It will be.
Yeah.
It's hard. You won't be happy that you spend all those hours on it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. But I'd love to get anybody's feedback. I think what they were trying to do is that they were trying to make an updated version of Chinatown.
Mm.
Do you know Chinatown?
I've seen it, but
Jack Nicholson?
I've seen it once.
Faye Dunaway?
Yeah.
If anybody knows Chinatown, watch Chinatown after you've been disappointed with True Detective Season 2, and it'll make complete sense.
Well, your boy there kind of got a little bit too much praise.
What?
The creator, the True Detective creator.
Well,
he was immediately, oh my God, he's Vince Gilligan, he's whoever.
Right.
And he had done one thing.
Right.
Which, you know, I'm still going to be pumped for the next thing he does and the next thing after that.
That is it.
I'm not surprised.
You know that, right?
What's that?
That's it.
What do you mean?
He's doing it.
Oh.
He's writing and directing it.
Well.
The remake of it.
And
I feel great about that.
Yeah, because you know what?
He's a great director, and he's really great with creepy stuff.
Right. And you know what? Hold on to your butts. The original is not very good.
Okay, slow down. Tape one is good.
That's true.
Tape one of it is good.
If you sit down and watch, because I remember watching it as a movie, it for 4.5 hours, and by hour three, you're like, why?
Once they become adults,
hokey. Yeah, it becomes like Cat's Eye or Silver Bullet.
Yes.
At the beginning, great, working.
Oh, in the 50s.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So but people forget the second half. They forget the right. spider in the cave.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's a story that could do with a nice modern updating.
I think so, too.
Yeah. But anyway, that guy, I'm not surprised to hear that True Detective Season 2 might be, let me take an established story and try to filter it, and oops, I didn't quite do it right.
Right.
But back to Sicario, in terms of, again, somebody taking their first swing, unbelievably mature script.
Yeah.
For a first-time screenwriter. And you know that he's probably got lots of, you know, student films and spec scripts sure. under his belt. But the way that this is structured and handled and how restrained it is, especially right. like you're saying on dialogue,
yeah.
unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree. And the structure is really good. I mean, I love no exposition. Yeah. I love when a movie doesn't have to explain their story to you.
Yeah.
And they did not do that at all. Matter of yeah. fact, like, went in the opposite direction of you not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said I always love a movie that doesn't have narration.
Right.
Because that's such a throwaway gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written so well in a way where you kind of just, you're kind of, you know, if I could put it in military SWAT terms, you're kind of stacked up on Emily Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, okay, I'm just going to stick with you, and I have yeah. no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and it's clearly about something. I'm trying to figure out how to tell you what it's about without giving anything away. But it's about you know, how bad does a situation have to be before all the rules are out?
Right, right.
And every, you know, perspective on that conversation has a character.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Emily Blunt is that from this angle. Josh Brolin is that from this angle. Benicio del Toro is that from this angle.
Right.
And it's really impressively done.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, this, you mentioned the writer definitely read a lot of books and did a lot of research.
Yeah.
It definitely knows a lot about the cartels and the borders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. it was fascinating.
And for all that, for as dark as it is, for as serious as it is, for as troubling as the subject matter is, it still has this little bit of a Western in it. When they're saddling up the horses, you're like, oh, yeah,
yeah.
let's go get some. It's
great point. Very yeah. much like a Western.
Yeah.
And actually, the writer, one of the films he's working on, I saw that it's a Western. It seems like a Western.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was.
But Western's definitely back.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, riding into the town lone gunman, but you know. You know, Breaking Bad is a Western. You know, there's a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Action, modern action movies, I mean, for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Actually, I would say from Dirty Harry,
mm-hmm.
They're modernized Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We almost need a new word for the genre.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Westerns, I mean, created action films.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It doesn't have to have
nope.
10-gallon hats and
nope.
swinging saloon doors.
I feel like I said something really smart about movies right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Write a book. No, you're busy.
You
got shit to do. I could keep talking to you about this movie all night. I feel like if we did any more, I'd start to give stuff away.
Yeah,
I don't want to give anything
see it.
Away. Yeah, this again, with the only reservation being you got to be cool with some ultraviolence. But
yeah,
as long
there's some tough things.
Yeah, but as long as you,
I wouldn't say ultraviolence.
No, it's not hostile. It's not Saw. It's
no.
just very realistic gang violence.
Yeah, there's realistic, like, you know, drug military violence.
Well, that opening scene too.
Damn. Whoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, very True Detective, isn't it?
Yeah. That's
good call on that. You're absolutely
those
right.
Those are some rooms I don't want them to build at the scare house. Let me say that.
That's interesting.
Whoo. Well,
what are we going to move on to? Before we move on, what do we got going on?
Oh, what do we have going on? If you're listening to this weekend, you can come see me at the Pittsburgh Improv. I'm very happy to be featuring for Owen Benjamin.
Yeah, from Sullivan and Son.
Yeah.
Really funny weekend.
I saw him on the Sullivan and Son tour.
Yeah.
He blew me away. Great comic.
Yeah.
Somebody who's definitely coming up, you know, on a national scale right
Absolutely.
Now as well. I will be there 6 shows, 2 tonight if you're listening on Friday, 2 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday, and one of our favorite young guns in the area, Colin Chamberlain, on those shows as well as the MC.
Nice.
Aaron, you are visiting our listeners in Missouri.
Yeah, I'm headlining the Deja Vu Comedy Club in Columbia, Missouri. And the week after that, you may be able to see me in Pittsburgh. Maybe at the Pittsburgh Improv.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Cannot yet confirm.
But I will, this is a lot of fun, I will be in Erie, October 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Juniors.
Yeah, juniors, with legendary Latino comic Paul Rodriguez. I'm really excited about that. Because I feel like he is the Latino comic, pretty much the one after Freddie Prinze Jr.,
mm-hmm.
that really took off
mm-hmm.
and kind of paved the way for people like George Lopez and Carlos Mencia and Gabriel Iglesias.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Paul Rodriguez, I thought, is very funny. I saw his early stuff.
And a fun club, too. Easy drive if you're in Pittsburgh. Easy drive if you're
in
Cleveland.
Favorites.
Yeah. And if we're going into the future, then let me tell you, I will be part of another Loaded show at Club Cafe, the WDVU Loaded show hosted by Bill Crawford. That is Saturday, October 10th at 10 p.m. And I gotta get your tickets now situation, because I tell you, I couldn't resist, Aaron.
What?
I couldn't. You know, I was a little busy. I had things going on. I was thinking, maybe I don't have time. And then I couldn't resist reprising my role as Egon in the Ghostbusters live read at Arcade Comedy Theater.
And when's that?
That is Friday, October...
What, 23rd?
16th.
Oh, that's right.
One show only, 10 p.m.
It's awesome.
I just love Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
This is the third year I've done it.
Yeah.
And I love... talking Ghostbusters with those folks.
I got a cool movie thing, too. Mm-hmm. Also at Arcade Comedy Theater, 8 p.m., October 30th,
mm-hmm.
bunch of comedians from Pittsburgh, stand-ups and improvisers.
This is big.
We are doing the Roast of Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh stand-ups and improvisers are going to be playing horror icon characters and roasting Freddy Krueger on a dais of roasters.
Dude, I had a great time.
It is... Wait, the people that are playing the characters that we have...
That's what I'm saying. I had a great time.
It's so damn funny, dude.
I was laughing my ass off sitting outside a Pleasure Bar with you, brainstorming who could play what in
yes.
this show.
Yeah, October 30th, Arcade Comedy Theater.
Is Lex in?
Yes.
Because we were sitting there, and I turn and look at Norlex Belma, who's been on this show before, and I turned to Aaron and smacked him on the shoulder and pointed at Norlex, and in the same moment we both said... Candyman.
Yes. That's the only one we're giving away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Lex is one of the only black dudes on
the
dais.
Well, yeah. I mean...
So, it's...
Everyone's a horror movie character. There's one black guy up there. You could probably figure that one out when you walk
in. Yeah.
But
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All these horror icons roasting Freddy Krueger. It's going to be a blast. October 30th, Arcade Comedy Theater.
That was a lot of good stuff coming up.
Dude, there's... October, man... October is one of my favorite months of all time because I love mm-hmm. horror movies. I try the last couple years. I've succeeded. Last year I did not. I think I hit 20-something. I try to watch a horror movie a day. Now, my friend Doug Benson, he's been watching a movie a day. I can't do that.
I want to get to that point.
I got 3 kids.
Yeah,
you're close to a movie a day.
No, I'm going to – I already looked at it. I mean, I might hit 150 for the year, which is less than half.
What'd you hit last year?
About that, a little less, 130.
I think
so.
I was at about 85, 90 maybe.
It's tough because then you think, I didn't watch a movie today. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they start to get away from you.
But a
horror movie a day, particularly, you know – look at our Facebook right now.
Yeah, if you look at our Facebook right now, I posted something this morning. It's BuzzFeed has a great list, 35 horror films to stream
Mm-hmm.
And you can stream all of them. And I went over the list, and it is Aaron Kleiber approved. It's a great list of horror movies mm-hmm. to stream. I'm excited seeing some of them. Like, oh, this is streaming? I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Give me a taste. Give me a couple.
Children of the Corn.
I streamed that a couple Halloweens ago.
The Babadook.
Yeah.
Rosemary's Baby, the original. VHS. Night of the Living Dead, the original. Saw.
Yeah.
Original Omen. Devil. Eh. Actually, not bad. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that's not bad.
In the elevator?
Yeah.
Pretty decent.
That was written by somebody who wrote something that I hated. That's written by the guy who wrote No Escape.
Oh.
Devil's way better.
There's one on the list that I have not seen that I'm really excited about. We Are What We Are. 2013. I'm really excited to see that. I haven't seen that yet. But there's some old school ones on there. Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Some cool stuff there.
Facebook.com/HandleTheTruthPodcast.
Yeah, the list is on there this morning.
This morning being Wednesday morning, as we're Tuesday. What day is it?
No, I don't know. It's going to be on Friday morning.
Oh, you're going to put it on Friday morning? Perfect.
I scheduled it.
Ooh, look at that. Hey, I'm on Instagram now. Just dropping that.
Good for you.
Instagram at Sean Collier PGH.
Dogs and comedy and food.
I love it because you don't actually have to be funny on Instagram.
I like to be.
I try to be.
I like to take pictures of fun stuff.
I know, when I see something funny, make a joke. But yeah. But you know what?
It's fun.
It's not like Twitter where I'm like, oh, how am I going to craft this witty little...
Right.
It's like, here's the thing that I'm looking at, 17 hashtags.
Right.
And people like it. I enjoy it. I enjoy Instagram, at Sean Collier PGH. But hey, before we take a break here... You know, a minute ago we were telling you to go to Arcade Comedy Theater.
Yeah.
Maybe you go for the Ghostbusters live read. Maybe you go for the roast of Freddy Krueger. You know what you can do? They're a BYOB theater. Yeah. You go down to Sharp Edge, a couple doors down, and get some bottles for the show. And won't you be classy if you put those bottles in your puzzle packs? Carry your wooden puzzle packs into Sharp Edge, fill it up, and carry that to Arcade Comedy Theater or wherever else you're taking beer. Puzzle Packs is a veteran-owned, locally made, sustainable business making customized wooden six-pack carriers that you snap together like a puzzle. You don't need tools. You don't need glue. You don't need to figure out where your Allen wrench is. You open the thing and you snap together your puzzle packs, which has your logo, name, picture, whatever, emblazoned
on
the side of it. I think I used the word emblazoned somewhere for Pittsburgh Magazine today, thinking about puzzle
packs. Good for you.
And it has a bottle opener on the side of it. And you can get $5 off your order with the offer code HANDLE. That's the middle word in You Can't Handle the Truth. Puzzlepacks.com.
Packs with an X.
Two Z's in puzzle if you don't know how to spell that word. PUZZLEPAX.com.
And if you think the six-pack carrier is pretty rad, they also sell coasters that also can have your logo emblazoned on it. The coaster, the wooden coaster, is also a bottle opener.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
So I sit down in my armchair
there. Yeah, dude.
And I realize I didn't open my beer in the kitchen.
The coaster.
Oh, my coaster will open this beer for me. Or maybe you like wine. Maybe you want to go over and be the star of your wine and cheese party.
They have a four-pack holder.
Four-pack that fits wine bottles.
Yep.
Puzzlepacks.com, offer code HANDLE. You know who else we like? The other shows on the Epicast Network, such as this one you're about to hear from right now.
Boom! I'm Aaron Kleiber. Guys, check out my podcast, Grown Dad Business, part of the Epicast Network. I talk to guests, some comedians, actors, some pretty fun, interesting people about their kids, about their childhood, about parents. And every once in a while, I bring in my own kids. Like my son Luke. Should they listen to the podcast? Why?
But we love you, right?
Oh, okay. Or my daughter Becca talks to us. Why should they listen to the podcast?
Because my dad is funny.
True.
He is a good spy.
He's a good spy?
Yes.
Not anymore. You just told everybody.
And he's awesome.
Luke, am
Yay,
I awesome?
Poops.
I do poop. Listen to Grown Dad Business, guys, part of the Epicast Network, and you'll get more of this and hopefully more entertaining things that is not happening. Follow your heart.
And we're back.
Bingo.
I was whispering to Aaron during the break a really awesome episode of Grown Dad Business last
week. Yeah, my podcast Grown Dad Business last week, I did an episode with comedian Andy Picaro, and we talked about some interesting things, namely Andy lost his dad in one of the World Trade Centers on 9/11. And we talked a little bit about that. I mean, that pertains to parenting and parents and, you know, how you become a comedian. But also we talked about, there's some stuff in the news about Steve Ranazzisi and talking about, you know, the World Trade Centers. And we talked a lot about, you know, comedians making things up and credits and resumes and, you know, fibbing. And I really enjoyed talking to him about it. I love talking to Andy. He's a straight shooter and, you know.
It was a great episode. And, you're, you know, the Steve Ranazzisi thing is a hot topic right now. You're not going to get too many perspectives like Andy's.
Yeah.
Unless it's Pete Davidson.
Right.
And they just did a show together.
Well, they're good buddies.
Yeah.
They started together, and that's kind of why they bonded.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andy talks a little bit more if you listen to Grown Dad Business, but, you know, he was a huge fan of Ranazzisi because of that story of 9/11.
Yeah.
So we talk about that. It's interesting.
And that's on epicast.tv and growndadbusiness.com?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Other thing. You might have noticed there are two movies in the headline for this episode.
Yeah.
And Sicario, spoiler, Sicario is the one to see if you go to the theater once this weekend.
For sure.
That said, I saw The Martian, a lot of people talking about this. Aaron, unfortunately, did not see The Martian.
I'm probably going to see it tomorrow.
So, well, you'll have to see it. Tomorrow. I'm getting Tomorrow Real Life versus Tomorrow Podcast crossed
tonight.
I'm really
good at this.
So here's, we're going to play Aaron, who's going to see the movie, asks me questions about it.
Oh, okay.
By way of a review of The Martian.
Okay.
So what do you want to know about The Martian?
So I thought it was interesting. I posted an article on our Handle the Truth page on Facebook about how, you know, Mars, we now know there's water on Mars.
The script unchanged.
Yeah, and so apparently Ridley Scott found out too far into post-production to change the movie The Martian. And I was asking you, like, if Ridley Scott did know or Matt Damon's character, how much would that have changed the film?
No, I mean, it either would have meant a completely different script.
Okay.
Or, you know, one scene where someone goes, it's a shame he's not closer to the water.
Yeah, right.
You know, just that one throwaway line, because he's pretty confined.
Right.
He can travel a little bit, but, you know, he's the whole point of the stranding is he's not supposed to be there for any length of time. He's got equipment to get people, to keep people alive for a little while.
Right.
And they immediately go, you know, as soon as they figure out that he's stuck on Mars, they are like, how are we going to get him? But it's going to take hundreds of days because...
You know, someone asked me that. I think my wife was talking about that. Like, what's that about? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, a mission to Mars, like, you can't just like... The process cannot be like, hey, guys. Hey, everybody at NASA. We left one of ours on Mars.
Yeah.
Jump in the shuttle.
Right.
It's got to be years.
In the movie, they have technology that we don't have yet. And even at that, it's something like a year and a half to get to Mars.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Which we couldn't do now.
Right.
But yeah, that's the thing. They figure it out pretty quickly. But they don't know how to get there. And people don't necessarily realize this. You can't turn a spaceship around.
Yeah.
Spaceships just go straight.
Right.
Because the amount of fuel it would take to change direction, it can't possibly exist in the world right now. So his crew left, that's the premise of the movie. There was a storm on Mars, and
thought he died, probably.
They thought he died and had to go.
Right.
And then, you know, later they figure out that someone's hanging on there.
Somebody's pinging from Mars.
Which gets into what... The most interesting thing about The Martian is it's just a hard science movie.
Right. And that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to ask you, like, how funny is freaking Matt Damon? It feels like every trailer, he's like, yeah, but I'm planning stuff, giggity-goo. Like, funny little, like he's FaceTiming an audition for, like, SNL.
It's charming. And you know what?
Oh, jeez.
No, I didn't have a problem with it because okay. I'm thinking, I went into it saying, this needs to be a lot of time on the ship and not a lot of time with Matt Damon growing potatoes.
Okay.
And it is a lot of time with Matt Damon growing potatoes. And I think they went, he's got to be funny and quippy and in Jimmy Kimmel mode, or else you're going to get really tired. Yeah, a little bit of
that for sure.
That was just, you know, that was how they made the movie work. If we're going to be alone with this guy this much, he has to be really damn likable. So the whole movie is just solving problems. He's solving problems to stay alive. They're solving problems on Earth to figure out how to get there. They're working out the science of it. And what I was thinking in there is, this movie is Interstellar for people who had a problem with Interstellar. which you know is not us. But for people who are like, I don't get it. What? There's God, maybe, and he's in the... And then he goes in the thing, and it was him.
Are you trying to say that this is Interstellar for stupid people?
No. And that's the crazy thing, because it's really intense on the science. So it's absolutely not for stupid people.
I'm really excited to see that part, for sure.
It's for people who just wanted straight space problems. And that's good, and that's interesting. It's just also very, very dry. You know, it's very, you know, we're figuring stuff out. It's Apollo 13 without Tom Hanks being warm and fuzzy, you know?
I see.
And it's good. It has a really good cast. Who's on the ship? Jessica Chastain's on the ship. Kate Mara's on the ship. Michael Pena's on the ship. It has a really good cast. Kristen Wiig continuing her push into drama. She's working in Houston. She does fine. Does a good job. And Donald Glover, too. But interesting, if you watch Community, Donald Glover plays Abed in this movie. He's like an Asperger's Syndrome NASA engineer. And he literally does things that Abed does on the TV show.
I see.
It's a little weird.
Okay.
If you're a Community fan. Sure. But... I gave The Martian a good score. I think I gave it an 8.
Okay.
That, you know, it's as good as a movie that's mainly engineering conversations can be. But Ridley Scott, so it's well-directed. It looks great. Mars looks like you're hanging out on Mars.
I can't wait.
I'm a little bit of a space nerd, so I'm just cool seeing the landscape and believing it.
Yeah. You know? Usually when I'm on the road doing comedy, Sean knows I catch up to him.
Yeah.
I'm going to catch up on The Martian and Black Mass this week. I'm excited.
And I haven't been at my house and conscious in like 3 days, but I might leave something else I have to do tomorrow night and go see The Walk with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Part of me thinks I'm going to go see that, and I love the documentary Man on Wire so much that I'm going to be like, nah.
Yeah, I'm kind of fearing that.
I like the documentary. If you haven't seen that, that's probably one of the best documentaries made in the last...
Won the Oscar.
Yeah, but it's one of the best documentaries I've seen in 10 years.
Won the Oscar, and the actual guy who walked on the tightrope, like, bum-rushed the stage to be up there with the filmmakers, and then started balancing the Oscar upside down on his chin.
Yeah, I remember that.
He's an interesting guy.
If you see that movie of Joseph Gordon-Levitt walking between the trade centers, that's a real thing.
That happened.
That's a real story.
Yeah.
And it won an Oscar for Best Documentary called Man on Wire. Go watch it. It's unreal.
And the other thing you need to know, I think this is the drama of the movie, that happened not like in a sanctioned way.
No, it wasn't sponsored by Red Bull.
No, dude decided he was going to do it and found a way.
It was like an Ocean's 11 heist.
He found a way to string a high-tension wire between the World Trade Centers.
Illegally.
Illegally, without anybody noticing.
Yeah.
And then kept it there long enough to, you know, go get his tightrope pole and make it happen.
Crazy.
You know, with the duck, and speaking of 9/11, which is always a great phrase to say as a transition. With the documentary, you kind of got past the trade centers because it's just this is a thing that happened and this is history.
Yeah, and
I'm a little curious as to how it's going to go in a fictional movie.
They're probably, the last scene is going to be a sunset of the World Trade Centers.
And that'll be that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think what the documentary does so beautifully is, because you do think of 9/11, it really makes it like, it makes you feel how majestic those buildings were in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
And how much of an iconic image they were.
Yeah.
To him also.
Yeah.
Like, it was this great, like, I have to do this here.
Right. You know? Yeah, it was like climbing Everest to this guy.
Really cool.
So, I think I'm going to go see it, because that's one where, like, I'm going to have to watch it at some point before I'm voting. So, do I get the screener and then watch it in my office 3 weeks from now?
Or
do I go
to the movie theater? No, you probably want to see it on a big screen.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go.
Get vertigo.
So, yeah, we'll talk a little bit.
I cannot believe that guy did that.
Did it.
Every time I see the trailer, I saw the documentary.
Yeah.
I see the trailer for The Walk, and I'm like, every time I go, I cannot believe that, dude.
Yeah.
Every time I think about that, I'm like, that is insane.
I just think of, because I tripped on the escalator earlier. So I'm like, what? No, do people's feet work that good?
I was just at the Hoover Dam when I was in Vegas last week.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they had a thing where, I guess, a couple times a year, people rappel down the Hoover Dam. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you can kiss my black ass. You're mine.
Wait, you mean Chevy Chase didn't do his own stunts in that movie? That wasn't...
No!
He wasn't really there.
Randy Quaid probably did.
Probably. Well, he did it without anyone asking. He was just on the side of the thing once.
Wow.
I'll probably tell you about The Walk next week. Next... I don't know what we're doing next week. I want to loop the people in on this.
Yeah, we do.
We had a great plan. I wanted to do a retro episode on Scream.
Wait, what's wrong?
Scream is playing at the AMC Waterfront. If you're listening to this, you can go Wednesday night.
Come visit us on October 7th.
That's during the wild card game, though.
Cool. No one's going to be there.
But I also am not going to be there. I can't. How can I do that?
Do you own the Pirates?
Look, it's a one-game playoff.
You write about movies, Sean.
Now, all right, let me flip the script. It's Penguins.
No,
Penguins,
I would,
round one.
No, I would not.
Penguins round one, game seven. Maybe. Are you going to go see Scream?
No.
Right.
Okay. Touche.
I don't know. Here's tell me if you're willing to do this.
Okay.
I think I can get myself up to miss a couple of innings. And the game don't start till 8:20 or something.
Yeah.
Are you willing to watch Scream, watch the rest of the Pirate game in the bar, and then record?
Sure.
Okay. Then we're probably going to do an episode on Scream next week.
Okay, yeah.
If you're willing to put in a late night.
Yeah.
As I think I can, as much as I'm a baseball nut and this is going to be a huge matchup... playoff games get a little long. I might be able to miss an
hour. I missed the Penguins preseason game for this podcast.
It's a preseason game.
Sean.
It's a preseason
game. I know. I'm just
kidding. Acknowledge. This is a fun fact. The Penguins played the Lightning in the arena from Slapshot tonight.
Yeah. Let's add it to movies.
Yeah. There was some kind of contest sponsored by Kraft.
It's really cool.
And one minor league arena was going to get a preseason game and a ton of money to rehabilitate the their arena.
Really
and,
cool.
And the Cambria County War Memorial in Johnstown, which is a really cool place. I've been there.
Me too.
Won that contest, so got a bunch of money, fixed it up, and hosted the Penguins in a little, 5,000-seat arena?
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, good for them. Look that up on YouTube. Watch some clips.
That's so great.
Good for them. Yeah. All right, we'll do the Scream episode.
And you know, along with trying to watch a horror movie a day, October for Handle the Truth podcast here at the Handle the Truth offices.
Yes.
We have a great lineup this month.
All
horror.
Except Bridge of Spies. We'll take a break.
I don't know our schedule.
Card subject to change, but... if everything goes right, next week we're going to do a retro episode on Scream.
Yeah.
Going to hit Bridge of Spies after that. Following week, live from the Scare House, we're doing it again, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then we're going to close with a Halloween special. We're going to give you that top five we were talking about, our five favorite horror villains.
Damn, son.
And same episode, retro episode on The Exorcist.
Woo!
We'll be out the day before Halloween.
October. I love it.
Love it.
It's horror movie month.
tune in for all of that. Aaron, take us home. I don't know. We're losing our club. You haven't done one in like a year.
I don't know what characters to do.
I don't know what you would do.
There's not a lot of. I don't want to do Benicio.
Don't do your Candyman.
Candyman.
He leaned in and then decided he couldn't.
I'm trying to think of a line from Candyman.
I can't remember one. Something about bees.
They took my family.
No, that's terrible. It's terrible. It's not how he talks.
No.
It's really hard to do his voice. Tony Todd has a very... Whatever. Get out of here. Leave us alone.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.